tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you doing? My name is Liz, this is Ella, and this is RBLR Sun. Hi, Ella, thank you for joining us today. This is Ella Zinkin. She is the, I guess, the main and only writer for the Sun Times.
Yes.
Right? Yes. We only have one paper now. What am I saying? Like, we have still have two. So, Ella, please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Ella Zinkin. I write for the Tampa Bay Times. I graduated from the University of Tampa last year with a degree in journalism, and now I'm getting my master's in professional communication. I've been covering the Sun since pretty much day one, and I'm so excited to be back for season two.
And it has been a season two.
It has.
Yes. Ella is on the field at every single game, every home game, of course. She is in that locker room afterwards talking to DSB. She knows her stuff about the Sun, guys. So if you haven't been reading her articles, make sure now that you are. She usually put out an article before the game and after the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. So we do try to feature, try to remember to feature those on the Heatwave account, but sometimes I forget. But if you don't, you just need to go on to Tampa Bay Times, look for Ella Zinkin, Z-I-N-K-E-N.
K-E-N, mm-hmm.
Yes, so we want to promo, we want to make sure people are looking for you now.
Yeah, read my articles.
So it's been a season. Mm-hmm. We are doing okay.
Haven't got that win yet.
Yeah. We are, we're at 3 losses, 5 ties.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were there or if you saw the heat wave being ridiculous and we all brought ties to one of the games.
Yeah.
We are stuck in Thailand again.
We really are, but got to keep bringing those ties. I remember them on the field last year when we finally beat Fort Lauderdale, I think it was.
Yeah, we might have to resurrect that. Yeah.
I think you probably should.
Yeah. It's been frustrating, honestly. And it's also other things like around the league that are around the team that have been a little frustrating, like attendance has been kind of lacking. We're at basically half of the attendance that we were doing last year. I'm not really sure why. Tampa's a fair weather. Yeah, Rowdy's games, and Tampa is a fair weather market. Excuse me. They like a team that wins, and that's about it.
We're trying, guys.
Yeah. So Ella, what do you? Yeah. Why the Sun?
I mean, I have always been really passionate about sports and women's sports in particular, especially here in Tampa. It's what drew me to Tampa was the sports market, but there wasn't a professional women's team. So as soon as I kind of got wind that there was going to be a women's soccer team, I was like, this is exactly what I would love to like put myself into and get to watch this team kind of grow from the bottom up. And I obviously was privileged enough to see them win a championship in the first year, which was absolutely insane, and have met so many cool people through the team. So it's been amazing.
That's cool. That's really awesome. And I know you weren't like the biggest soccer fan beforehand.
Right.
You're still learning. I mean, I'm still learning. Let's be real. I've been a soccer fan for as long as I've been alive, and I still don't know all the rules.
Yeah, I played soccer for 1 year in high school. We only had one team. We had a varsity team, and that was it. So we were playing against like these. I went to a private Catholic school. So we were like small little school, like 80 people in my grade. We're playing against these public schools that are really good, and we just would get destroyed and lose every single game. So I was a little disheartened. I also was not good at soccer at all. But yeah, when I was like, I learned I was going to be covering soccer, I was super excited. Definitely was a little bit of a learning curve. The first couple games, I would sit in the stands and have like the Peacock broadcast in my AirPods listening to it to kind of like learn what was going on. Like, even the first couple of press conferences, I was like, I have no idea what to ask. Like, did you guys have fun out there? Like, but I've obviously learned a ton, and I've become so much bigger of a soccer fan, and it's just like, it's such a cool sport to watch.
It really is. I feel that, by the way, with not being good at soccer. I like to say that I play not well, but very enthusiastically.
And that's what matters, right?
I honestly, having the peacock stream in your ears is a great way to learn, just to hear like, okay, they now they did this, now that's called a that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I applaud the effort that you put in for sure. And I have to say, I'm biased as shit, but super glad that it's a woman covering the team instead of a man.
I know. I have to say. I know.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's, you know, when it's all you've ever read are male sports writers, it's a little frustrating. Not that, you know, like Derek Reese is great, and of course all the other names that I can think of are gone because it's all snow up there.
Of course.
But it's nice to see some female writers really start to shape the Tampa Bay sports reporting. Yeah.
Definitely.
And you were the first of your program at UT, right?
Yeah. So no one in the journalism program, or I guess any program, had become like a writer at the Tampa Bay Times. So I was privileged enough to be asked to be the very first. And I think there's been one or two more kids that have started writing for the Times now, covering different things. One writer from our Minaret, which is our school newspaper, has been covering like science and technology, I think. So it's been kind of cool to get to see that, but I was so grateful to be able to be the first and just kind of represent, especially all the girls out there who have wanted to cover sports. Cause obviously I grew up watching football with my dad or watching baseball, and the writers, the announcers, everyone is always a man. And it's just kind of nice to be like, women can do it too, just because they haven't before, you know?
Yeah. And we haven't had a women's team for there to, you know, to blaze that trail.
Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool to see. And even the fans that come out to games, a lot of like the young girls in the stand, it's just really cool to see. And a lot of the players really love that. I was talking to Jordan Lister a couple weeks ago, and she was just saying that the most rewarding part of her job is getting to see like all the little girls that she's inspiring. And it's just really cool how much attention they pay to the fans. Like going off the field, they always are signing autographs and seeing all the fans, which is just really cool.
Yeah, I really do have to hand it to the team for that. They always make sure they stay out as long as they have to make sure every fan that wants a signature, wants a picture, anything, you know, gets it. And it goes a long way
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes a long way. Cause like, I think back to one of my favorite baseball players was, Akinori Iwamura for the Rays back in like 2008. And one of my first interactions with him was at, because they were sponsored. So the Rays had a sponsorship at Checkers for the longest time. And they had, they did an autograph signing at a Checkers. And they closed off the line after a while, but he stayed like an hour, hour and a half after when it was supposed to end, just to make sure he could sign everything and take a picture with everyone. And it's really those little things that stay with you. So I know that these little kids who are, you know, they're getting a picture with the Jordan Lystro. I mean, we think she's just our little Jordan Lystro, but like played in the NWSL. I have an NWSL trading card of her for the Pride. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I have to echo that. It's so cool seeing all the little kids there who are just, they're so excited and they're so passionate. I hope they hold on to that like I did, and so that they can keep supporting the team, because Lord knows they need it.
Yeah,
it's frustrating too when you have such nice players who are involved in the, you know, whatever community events the Sun do, you know, there's always a couple players there and they're always very enthusiastic about what they're doing and how they can help. That I don't understand why there's just not as much buzz about this team. I get, like I said, Tampa's fair weather market, but the drop off was very strange.
And I didn't really expect that with kind of the short break in between them winning the championship, having the parade, all that in June, jumping right back into it in August. And it was like Suncoast Credit Union Field just was
we have no way there anymore.
It's like, I don't think everyone.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else in the league has a sponsored field. Now, granted, some other teams have like their own stadium, but still, like we don't have, you know.
So I was, that was something that really surprised me, and hoping like maybe as they start to do more like theme nights, I know military appreciation's coming up, that people will start coming out and seeing the team, but they feed off the crowd. And that's something that they always bring up in the interviews is how much the crowd energy like fuels them. So maybe that extra crowd boost is what we need to get the first win of the season. But
yeah, I'm hoping it's not too inconvenient of a game. It's like the weekend before Thanksgiving is our next home game. The 24 days
second,
as of today. 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just keep going by the countdown on the page. I'm just like, is it time yet?
I know. It feels like it's such a long gap in between.
And then this international break that we're taking, like the USL took for the 1 week, and then now we still have another week off. Like, give me the soccer.
Yeah, exactly. What am I supposed to watch?
Yeah. If I didn't have the Rowdies this past weekend, I would have had nothing.
Right?
Yeah, and then the Rowdies didn't make it to the playoffs. There's no more of that. So there's lots of time for Sun soccer. Give me more.
Well, exactly. Then people hopefully will come out to the games because the Rowdies aren't playing. So come watch the Sun.
Yeah. Those first three games being a conflict had to suck. And I kind of talked to one of the front office folks, and apparently trying to get dates blacked out and making sure that you can get games on specific days is really weird in the league. So I think they're still kind of figuring that out. And I know that that'll happen when you don't own your own stadium. And I think there's only two teams that even have their own like stadium, so that they have free reign. But even then they share it with a men's team.
Yeah.
So I know the scheduling part is difficult. I am hoping that the Rowdies can work around, like, because we attempted to work around their schedule. Oh, not really, though, but attempted to work around their schedule for this last half of their season. Hopefully the first half of their season, they can work around the Sun. Because it really does feel like we are just shooting ourselves in the foot by making people choose between the two. Because at the end of the season, it was hard for me to even not want to go to the Sun game because I wanted to go see the Rowdies and their playoff push.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think a lot of people were probably on the same kind of wavelength there thinking, oh, well, I don't know. What if the Rowdies do something? Like, it's the beginning of the Sun season. I guess there's like time, but.
Yeah, like I managed to not convince, but my boyfriend was really, really kind. And he was like, oh, no, it's a rivalry game. I want to see the Sun play Fort Lauderdale. I feel bad because he missed the Rowdies winning like 5-1 that night.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. Which, thank God, we didn't lose to Fort Lauderdale. I have to say, out of everything that's happened this season, we haven't lost to Fort Lauderdale. We still have that hang over their heads.
We're holding on to that.
Yes. I was very appreciative that Sabrina McNeil played as hard as she did against her former team.
I know. Yeah. So grateful to have that, and hoping we can beat Jacksonville too, because now we have another Florida team to worry about. But
yeah, I was talking about it a little bit last week, but I think we just didn't have that that rivalry fire lit under our ass.
Not quite yet.
For whatever reason, because, you know, the first year all we had was Fort Lauderdale, so obviously there were our rivals.
Yeah.
But I don't think we didn't have that for Jacksonville yet for some reason, even though, I mean, we don't like
Jacksonville. Maybe now we have it.
Yeah.
Now it feels a little bit more like, okay. We let them have a little bit. Now it's our turn.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a win. Oh.
I know. Hoping on the 22nd.
Yeah. Or I'd love for an away game win. That'd be great, well, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But we do have – we didn't have a game this week. We have this next week off, even though there are other teams playing. So hopefully that nice long rest period, everyone can get all better. Everyone nice and healed, and then everybody's out on the field. Tosh Flint, please be out on the field.
Yes, please.
Please.
Well, they had that's like 8 or 9 injuries that one game that was just – the injury bug has been hitting them pretty hard, so.
I think it was more than that. I'm pretty sure it was at least half the team.
Yeah,
It was nuts. So I know you don't have prior experience writing for sports, but like, how do you think the Sun are different than from any of the other sports teams? Like,
well, I've covered the Bucks, the Rays, and the Lightning.
That's right, you have done that. I'm sorry.
So no, you're fine. It wasn't like, yeah, it was like once in a while, you know what I mean? Not as like specific as the Sun has been, but I think one thing that's really nice about the Sun is how hands-on they are and how kind of like connected everyone in the organization is. Like, everyone knows your name and they all want to help, and they've been so great at that. And just access to the players has been honestly amazing. Like, I've been able to go in there and just talk to their PR people and be like, this is who I want to talk to today, like, would this be okay? And they're just super open, super willing, and they've just been really happy to have the coverage, and I've just been happy to be able to cover the team. So they've been great working with me, and I just think it's something really special, because even the fans, like, you could see the excitement of everyone to just finally have that women's team in Tampa, like, we've all been waiting for so long, and finally get a little bit of representation among all the, like, big men's teams. But it's been really special.
Yeah, but even with all the big men's teams, it's, there still feels like there's this like second tier that we've been relegated to.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they don't think the team is going to last, or if they don't think it's worth covering. It's weird, mm-hmm. right? It's because, like, not that I don't love you, but like, there are multiple people covering Rays games. There are multiple people covering different aspects of Bucks games, mm-hmm. analyzing everything down to the detail. And it's like, I love you, Ella. But obviously, we want more people covering the team, more attention.
And it feels like we were only getting that coverage when they were in the championship, or when we were in the boat parade, we were like on a boat with all these other media people. And I was like, that's so amazing that everyone's here and we're getting this coverage, but I would love to see like a little bit more coverage of the team and just kind of getting them that like extra push and that just making them feel like they have the support of the city as much as the other teams do, I guess. And it's been really nice to see the Minaret came out and covered a game. Like, that's been awesome. And I just think things like that are kind of what the team needs. And I just think it's exciting to have those opportunities. And I hope more people take advantage of that, because the team's great and everyone is super helpful, super friendly, and just wants that coverage.
Yeah, no, that's awesome that they had UT come out and cover it. Mm-hmm. I think having even USF doing it would be really, really cool. We had that little crossover now with Jordy Lister doing the announcing over there. Let's step in, do some reporting, some other stuff. Maybe camera. Mm-hmm. I would say camera work, but like, the camera's not too bad. It's Brooklyn. That's awful. Oh my God. The camera's shaking the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. The Brooklyn games are brutal.
I do have to hand it to the team. And if the front office is listening, thank you for getting a scissor lift for every game. I appreciate that. Nice angle. We don't have, we used to call it the, what did we call it? The unknown zone or something like that, which was just the far left side of the field. Mm-hmm. You just could never
see it. Yeah. Yes.
So I do see that they are making strides to improve some things. I feel like the theme, like that we were talking about before, the theme nights have been a little more effort put in. I would have liked if we had put the mariachi band for Hispanic Heritage Night on the field. Yes. I didn't really understand why they were right by the door.
Yeah. Sort of odd. Kind of fun though, but also.
Oh no, it was so much fun. I love having it. Yeah. Like they were phenomenal performers. And that's why I was like, oh, well, they should be on the field. Yeah. So the whole stadium can hear. But I like the direction they're going in for sure. The Breast Cancer Awareness Night was really fun. However, I would like permanent pink jerseys to be available for sale.
Agreed.
I have to bid on, and I'm still waiting to see if I won.
Yeah, the warm-ups were really cute. I'm like, can I buy one? Like, they were so – I loved the pink. I thought it was really fun. I think we should do more themed jerseys, but I don't know if that's in the budget right now.
Yeah. I have to wonder how much it costs, because Brooklyn has been doing themed jerseys. They did a pride jersey. It was really cool. It was like white with rainbow pinstripes.
I did see that. That was cool.
Yeah. And then they also did a pink one. I think they did a purple one at some point too. Oh. Like they've done a bunch of colors, and I don't think they're like I'm wearing now, like the professional nice Capelli, you know, $100 kits, because they were only selling them for like $40. But like still, that is another thing that I've been a little surprised by, is the lack of merchandising that they've tried to do. And I do understand that they probably have a bunch of leftover. They were planning to do 2 year kits, which, by the way, I freaking love, because having to buy a new kit every year sucks. Yeah. I don't even want to do a new heat wave scarf every year, because I don't think people should have to buy a new one every year, because you don't need that many.
Yeah. Especially in Florida. But,
yeah. But I love that they were doing 2 year kits, and I think that was the plan. And I don't think they planned on winning the championship. Obviously they wanted to, but I don't think they planned on it. But now they're not selling any new kits with the star on it. I don't understand why they don't just be like, here, buy a kit, and then real quick, we'll put a star on it with a little heat press.
Yeah. I think last season they did an amazing job with like the themed merch. Like every, like I have a military shirt. I'm wearing my Christmas sweatshirt. Yeah. my favorite merch item, by the way. So cute. But yeah, they had the breast cancer shirt, but it was black. I want a pink shirt.
Yeah.
I'm picky.
I know, I sound, this is not very feminist of me, I will say, but like, I want more pink in my women's soccer.
Yes, yes.
I finally got my women's soccer team. I wanted cute and I wanted pink.
Exactly. Like, come on. Give the people what they want.
Yeah. And I've only been asking for it for how long? Oh, yeah, I've been asking for it since I saw the pink keeper kits, honestly.
Oh, but they're so cute.
They are. I that's the only thing. I like what we've done with our kits. Like I love our specific goalkeeper kits. I think we're the only ones in the league who have like a special goalkeeper kit. I love that we sell that, although I don't understand why we sell the long sleeve and then the players get to wear short sleeve.
Yeah.
When like we want, it's Florida.
Yeah.
So short sleeve.
Can't wear a long sleeve, unfortunately.
Yeah, everyone I see wearing one and eventually pulls the sleeves. Yeah. Off. It's too hot. Mm-hmm. But it's odd. I would love to talk to the front office and like maybe their marketing team or someone and be like, okay, so why not this? Why not stars on
suggestions.
It? We'll yeah.
Yeah, give us the star. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like some other teams I would have capitalized on that.
Brooklyn for sure. I know they were out there with stars.
Yeah. It's an odd duck. I don't quite get it, and I don't know if maybe that's part of why it's like one of those weird like butterfly effect things where like because we're not doing this, we're not getting the same amount of coverage that we would get. We're not attracting as many fans as we would normally get, which it's proven in our attendance. It's weird. I wish I could point to like one thing and that's why the attendance is down, but it feels like a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating. And it's, especially when I'm writing my stories, because I can't be like, like dozens of people cheered as the Sun scored. Like,
yeah, literally, like, there's dozens of us. Dozens.
Dozens of fans out here and they're thrilled. But I do have to say the fans that are coming out and are there, a lot of the fans that are there every week. And they are so supportive. And the little girls that are out there, the little boys that are out there, and the players' families are always there and they're always supporting. And it's just really cool to see. But the fans that are there are super loyal. So
shout out to them. I have to say every game in the Heatwave section has been great. Mm-hmm. Like we haven't had a ton of people, but it's been fun, honestly. And we've sounded really good. I even saw
agreed.
A Reddit comment with someone was saying they went to a Jacksonville game. They said the fan experience wasn't that great, but they'd heard that Sun games were pretty good. And I was like, oh, people know us. People have heard of us.
Mentioned. They are fun. I do have to say, sometimes I sneak over and stand in the Heatwave section for a little bit, and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah. So if you haven't been to a game and you, or you have been to a game and you're too scared to come stand with us, just come stand with us. You can join the heat wave just by standing with us.
Yes. It'll be so fun. Even Amanda is over there. Beating the drums.
We even get the league president. We haven't in a minute. Cause I think she's been too busy doing impressive league president things. Like she
had girl boss things, but
like yeah. A month ago. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I think she was at the Dallas Classico game, which that was amazing, by the way. I feel like more people should have been like losing their freaking minds that a Dallas Trinity game got 20,000 people.
Yeah.
I was blown away. Like somebody posted that. I was like, holy shit, I gotta advertise this on the Heatwave account. Yeah. Everyone needs to know this.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see if we could pull something like that at Raymond James. I don't know that we could pull 20,000. I know the intersection of the Classico and the State Fair was like the big thing to pull people in, but still, like it was more than 20,000. I think it was like 22,000 because it set a new record or something like that.
That is insane. That is insane.
Yeah, like that's like NWSL games, and I hate to compare us because NWSL
we're
is
just
one,
a baby right like now. One, yeah.
Yeah, we're like 1B, which is fine because that's how the people are freaking out a lot. But like that's how the NWSL started. There were three iterations of the NWSL under different names before they managed to stay alive long enough to keep the name the NWSL.
Yeah,
it was bonkers. There was like three different leagues that just like. Became folded. I think the Boston Breakers have been revived more times than I can count. I forgot where I was going with this. I'm sorry. I was kind of wondering. The NWSL. That's right. So I stuff like that. I feel like really needs to be celebrated. I do hope that they had press coverage over there. Fingers crossed. Yeah. I don't really know. I haven't seen too many people posting articles.
Yeah, I did see some bigger outlets for covering that. So that's it definitely is good to see. So
nice. Very cool.
I don't know. Maybe we need to take a shot at Raymond James.
Oh my God, I think I would lose my mind.
Oh, that would be crazy. That would be so much fun. That would be a blast.
Yeah. Especially if we double team it with like a U.S. women's national team game, which I did on the DL. I'm tangenting all over the place here, but on the DL, I did hear that Tampa Bay is in the running for a women's World Cup game in 2031 or whatever.
Yeah. And I think we're getting football in 2029. I was reading that because there's a couple big games coming to Tampa. So that should be exciting. National championship. I think the national championship. I might have made that up. Someone check me on that.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what that is? The college football national championship?
No.
Oh goodness.
I mean, I can gather what it is from the title, but like I couldn't tell you
like
anything
big,
about it.
No, like when all the college football teams, they go to like the national
is that the, like the ranked like it'll be like one
yeah
like,
yeah yeah yeah
okay
yeah
okay
it's their Super Bowl yeah it's
oh
Super Bowl.
Okay all right there we go there that makes
so
sense.
That would be pretty cool. Sorry we defer away from soccer and she's like what.
I know I was in marching band for 8 years and I still could not tell you a single rule for football, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
I watched so many terrible FAU football
what
games
did you play?
I played the flag. I was in the color guard.
Very nice.
Yeah,
I have
no musical talent whatsoever. I can't keep a beat to save my life. So we do the flag.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but football is a whole other world. I have a fantasy football team and I'm still just like barely understanding what I'm doing with that, honestly.
How's the team doing?
I think I'm 3-5.
Oh.
Which is not great, but also I did my roster.
At least you got 3 wins.
I did my roster apparently all wrong. I was supposed to stack up on wide receivers and running backs, and nobody told me that. So I just picked like two of all of them.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't need two kickers apparently or two defenses.
Oh, no. Oh, that's funny. Are they good kickers at least? Do we know?
I did pick like the number one kicker because nobody else was focusing on that during the draft. So I think I think that helped.
It's all about the feet. You're still thinking soccer even when you're running a fantasy football team.
Yeah, and I think actually one of the guys, I think I've traded him since then, but I think one of the guys that I picked was a player for like New Mexico United before he got picked up for the NFL or something. He played for a USL championship team. It was one of those weird like 6 degrees of separation thing. Yeah.
Do we know who?
Oh, see, Tom would know. Oh, I need Tom back.
I know. Now you brought up fantasy football and I want like all the details on your fantasy team. Do we know who your quarterback is?
Who is my quarterback? Caleb Williams?
Oh.
For Chicago. Yeah.
I'm from Chicago, so I can say that.
Oh, okay. Fair. Yeah. In my defense, I'm now picking, I've done the best when I pick players that are playing against teams that are worse than them. So I go and I look, oh, they're playing against ranked 31st in wide receivers. That's a good sign. That means I might win.
Oh, it's Brandon Staley, your kicker, potentially.
Is it, I thought it was Brian Audrey.
Oh. Played for them. We're getting good. Told from.
Oh, is Eureka yelling at us in the chat?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, Brandon Staley. It's not Brandon Staley.
That one she said.
That one she said. No, I'm pretty sure it's Brandon Aubrey.
I think that might be what he means.
Now we're going to do live research. Hold on.
That one. It's Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, see?
Like, oh my gosh. You are so funny. Yes, we know you're agreeing, Eureka.
Yeah. Oh, he played for Bethlehem Steel in 2018, which is they don't even exist anymore. Oh, they were MLS Next Pro. I'm sorry. I thought they were USL.
One game
versus the Rowdies. There we go. That's how we tie it back to soccer.
That's funny.
And this has been the Fantasy Football Corner with Lizzie and Ella.
Yes. Welcome to our Fantasy Football Corner.
Is there fantasy football for soccer?
Is that a dumb question? Eureka's on it.
Don't give him ideas. Yeah, he's going to come up with a whole new pod. He's going to come up with a whole nother RBLR podcast, Eureka, for just fantasy football, which, like, don't tempt him.
I feel like that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. You can give them tips, like, I choose the player that's playing against the worst team.
There you go. Yeah, true. I'll say otherwise, no, I'm 3-5. I should not be giving advice.
Hey, you're better than the Jets. That's all that matters. The bar is so painfully low.
I don't even know anything about the Jets, but like I saw an Instagram reel the other day and it was like of some kid who was so dejected. But he's like, but I was born into this. So I'm going to stay a Jets fan.
They haven't had anything to be happy about for years.
That's pretty bad, damn.
And the Giants whole team is getting hurt. Their star running back. It's just the whole state of New York.
I mean, we feel that down in Florida with the sun. Everyone's getting injured. We haven't had anything exciting happen in a minute. We did sign Braylon Gault, but like, we signed Braylon Gault, which was fun, but it felt like we were all saying, we need a striker. And then the front office was like, best we can do is a youth academy keeper.
And we were like, you know what? Okay. We'll take it.
Okay. Yeah, we need Tosh back so bad. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know. The every time the lineup comes out and I'm like, Tosh, please.
I know when I saw Tosh Flint sick, I was like, sick? What do you mean? No. We have Tampa General Hospital. Fix her.
I know, right? Come on. TGH, get out there.
it's a bougie hospital, and I know it is because I had to pay for parking when I went there. That's what I consider bougie.
You know what? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever paid for parking at a hospital before then.
It's like adding insult to injury, literally.
Yeah, because of course it's like, oh, the first hour is free.
Who is at the hospital for an hour?
At least 15 minutes early. Yeah. And then they keep you waiting. And then it takes 45 minutes to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is for anyone listening, if you've made it this far, this is just Lizzie and Ella bitching about anything we think of at this point. Literally. Because there was no game this week. So what do we talk about?
Talking about hospital parking and fantasy football.
and fantasy football on my soccer, on my women's soccer podcast.
I know, right? They're going to be like, never bring this Ella girl back again.
Well, too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, guys,
I like her and she's the only one covering the sun. So we love her actually. Also like and subscribe, because my producer just reminded me, hit the buttons, the likey, the subscribe, leave a comment about how much you liked this episode.
Yes, girl power up in here. Comment a pink heart emoji if you made it this far.
Yes, pink heart emoji, I love it. Let's do it.
What's your next tangent that you have?
It all turned to snow up there again, because I was just like, I want a game again. Gosh,
I know. I'm like itching for another game.
All right. I think we've bitched enough. Let me talk about some of the games that are upcoming this week. So you can actually watch some women's soccer this week. Well, there was the U.S. women's national team game, which they did play Portugal twice. We lost the first match. We won the second match. And I'm not going to say this because Claudia Dickey is a better goalkeeper, but it is. It is. And also Olivia Moultrie is a god, because she scored 2 of the 3 goals in the second game. It was nuts. It was a good game. If anyone is still listening, and you missed it, at least go watch the highlights, because all the goals were bangers, and both games had a goal in the first minute. It was kind of nuts.
That's what we like to see.
Some other games around the league this week. When this goes live, it'll be a Wednesday, because I know how days of the week work. So on Thursday, the day after this goes live, on October 30th, Spokane is playing Carolina at 9 p.m. So that is going to be and I just lost my tab with the standings on it. So that's gone. Hold on. And all my windows are going nuts. Oh, because I clicked out of it when I went to the Brandon Aubrey thing.
Oh my gosh.
I just used my Gainbridge tab and I was just like, Brandon Aubrey. I don't need this tab anymore that tells me the standing.
Who needs this? No, we don't need that.
No. So Carolina, they have 2 wins. They were the only other team who didn't have a win, and then they got 2 wins. We are still the only team without a win. So that is Carolina and Spokane. That's 2 playing 5. Not bad. Carolina's been in pretty good form. Spokane has been in better form. So we'll see. I think that'll be a really good game, honestly. Yeah. Especially since everyone's had a week off now. I think Lexington had like 3 games, like back to back to back in like 1 week. It was a little bit crazy. So I'm glad we did take at least something of an international break. I don't think it's as long as the NWSL is taking. I think they're doing 2 weeks. But we get 2 weeks because we're the sun. We're special. On Friday, on Halloween, if you have nothing to do, much like myself, you can watch Lexington play Sporting Jacks. I am very interested to see how that goes, because that is number 1 versus number 4. Sporting Jacks has been irritatingly good this season, especially because of Ashlyn Puerta. So interested to see if she scores any more goals, which she probably will. But the Lexington has been on a hot streak, because they went and they bought every good player in the league. That'll do it. That'll be a good game. I think that'll either be a really good game or it will be a stalemate, because both teams will be so good that they will just cancel each other out.
Yeah. Hoping for a really good game.
Yeah. And then we have on Saturday, we had a full weekend. We got a game every day this weekend, starting with Thursday. So you have at least 1 game of soccer per day, to take in to keep the doctor away. That was so corny. I'm so sorry. On Saturday, November 1st, Fort Loserdale is playing Brooklyn at Fort Loserdale. Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn is also an odd duck, because they're not really bad. They're just like, I don't even think that we're bad and we're last place. I don't really think that we're bad. We're just not playing up to our potential, I feel like.
Our potential.
Yeah. Wait, did I say it funny?
Yeah, you did.
I say potential. Potential words. I talk good like. I have college degree. I did say it funny. Okay. Well, everybody can make fun of me in the comments. That's fine. Fort Lauderdale is playing Brooklyn at Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale just lost their last match pretty poorly to Lexington, although they did get a red card like super early. A keeper got a red card super early on in that match. So that could be part of why. So they're definitely going to have a fire lit under their asses to take down Brooklyn. I'm a fan of that, except that it will not move us up on the table.
Yeah, we need to play.
Yeah. And then our last game of the week, of the weekend, excuse me, on Sunday at 5 p.m. is Dallas versus DC Power. DC Power was doing pretty well in the beginning, but they've been on a losing draw streak for a little while. But Dallas has also been kind of odd. They were really good last year. They're not as good this year. I'm not sure quite why that. Oh, they only have 3 wins too. And that was a long time ago because their last win was September 6th. That's a while back.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully they've had some time off from their Classico game where they also got slaughtered. And they will come back for a pretty good match. I think DC has some fight in them. And I think Dallas being at home will help. So I think that'll be a really good match for sure. I feel like I said that about all the matches, but honestly, I don't think there are too many bad matches.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even the stalemates are pretty interesting. That is one thing I like about this league. Everything pretty much stays interesting. Nothing's too boring.
Yeah, agreed.
That I think about wraps it up for today. We have kind of a short episode. Well, short for us when last week we did an hour and a half just talking about one game. Ella, do you have any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to relay to our dozens of viewers?
No, thank you so much for having me. It's my first podcast, so I'm thrilled to be on here and yeah, make sure you're coming out to the games. If you've never come and watched a game, definitely come out. I know it fuels them for sure. I'm sure everyone who's watching this has come to a game, but read my stories. And yeah, that's all I got. Thank you so much. You've been awesome.
Thank you. And yes, make sure that you're reading her articles. It's Ella Zinken, ELLAZINKEN for the Tampa Bay Times. They're always excellent.
Aww, just saying.
And she's the only one covering it. She's the only person. We need to support her.
Yeah, guys, keep me employed.
Yes. It's trying times for journalists right now.
But yeah, it really is. I did write an article about the heat wave last season. So if
you haven't read
that, featuring the one and only.
Yeah, that was honestly nuts, by the way.
It was a fun article. It was definitely one of my favorites that I've written. So
thank you.
Yeah. If you read nothing else, go read that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, join us in the heat wave. Join us here at RBLR Sun. Make sure you hit the buttons, the like, the subscribe. We are at RBLR Sun FC on socials and at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes where you can see our beautiful faces. Make sure you come see our beautiful faces. And you can always see us at games. Ella's on the sidelines. I'm in the heat wave. Come say hi to us. I watched your podcast. Hi.
Please do. I've had two people come up to me in public and say that they like have read my stories and it was like the best moment of my life. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Please see me. I love it.
That's how I felt when Hannah Keene's mom came up and she's like, oh yeah, we listen as soon as it comes out, like as soon in the morning. I was like, oh my God, really? My little podcast where I just yap.
Shout out Hannah Keene and her mom if you're listening. Yeah.
Honestly. All right, that about wraps it up for today. Thank you so much, Ella. I appreciate you taking the time to be here today. And thank you, viewers and listeners.
Bye. Thank you.
We'll see you later. I have to hit the buttons this time because Eureka's not here. So 1 second. There we go.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.